One might consider the few verses of our reading today as a synopsis of seminary education and life thereafter. Probably not many of us start out where Apollos did, an eloquent man competent in the scriptures. But wherever we start out, we can and must benefit from the help of others, our teachers along the way. Priscilla and Aquila explained to him the way of God more accurately. That's your seminary education. Then Apollos powerfully refuted the Jews in public, showing by the scriptures that the Christ was Jesus. That's your life after seminary. Well, we all know it's not quite that simple. If it were, we wouldn't take 3 or 4 years of your life giving you the basics of Christianity. Yes, the basics. We heard yesterday at the awards ceremony following the chapel service that these years at the seminary are only the beginning of a lifelong study of knowing the way of God more accurately. Once you are on this path of learning to know about God, there is no completion this side of heaven. However, with that proviso, the last verse of our reading does tell us about life after seminary, showing by the scriptures that the Christ is Jesus. That is, or will be, your lifelong vocation, to show to those around you that Jesus is the Christ, the promised Messiah. Whether you are going out now or in the future as a pastor or a deaconess, you will be asked to affirm that you believe and confess the canonical scriptures to be the inspired word of God and the only infallible rule of faith and practice. Apollos started there with the scriptures, showing by them that the Christ was Jesus. And that's where all of us must start, with God's inspired word. It is the word that you will use to teach the faithful. It is with the word of God that you will show Jesus clearly to those under your care as you teach them and work with them. You may not always be able to show off your erudition. Most of the people with whom you work will not care about the etymology of the word Christ. But the faithful don't need to know that if you proclaim that Jesus is the promised Messiah, the one whom God appointed from the foundation of the world to take on the sins of the whole world and to die for those sins, reconciling the world to God and specifically the persons to whom you are talking. There is nothing you have learned here that will go to waste as you teach the faithful. The mistakes you learned to avoid by studying systematics are precisely the mistakes that people still make today. The false teachings that you learned about in history are precisely the false teachings that the faithful confront today and against which they need to be warned. The wrong ideas that people have about what goes on or doesn't go on in the divine service and in God's sacraments are repeated anew each day. So you will draw on what you have learned here as you teach the faithful, and you will draw on what you have learned as you reach the lost. You might not, and probably won't, do it in exactly the same way as Apollos did. After all, he was refuting the Jews from scriptures. The Jews already accepted the scriptures as God's word. Apollos could start with the scriptures and gain a hearing. Such is not the case in our day. I could say, alas, but that won't help. It simply is the case. It is the world and the context in which God has placed us in ministry. Perhaps a better role model is Paul, about whom we heard yesterday. When the Jews opposed him, he went to the Gentiles. And the Gentiles certainly didn't start with any grand presuppositions about the Bible as God's word. As we read Paul's epistles, it is easy to forget that the Gentile hearers did not automatically perk up their ears when someone said, "Thus says the Lord." Yet it is precisely the scriptures that Paul used to preach Christ to the Gentiles. The scriptures are the source, whether we are teaching the faithful or reaching the lost, since it is only from the scriptures that one can see that Jesus is the Christ. Jesus himself came to seek and to save the lost, and we are his servants as we do the same thing in the office in which God has put us. If you are following my outline, you know what the next part will be. It will be on caring for all. And showing that Jesus is the Christ from the scriptures is also closely tied up with caring for all. Because it is precisely because God showed his love for us by sending us Jesus Christ as our Savior from sin, from death, and from the devil that we too display the love of Christ in our lives by caring for all. The world considers it absolutely trite and meaningless to say that Jesus is the answer. But this is precisely the case. Jesus is the ultimate answer. Jesus might not be the immediate answer. There are times when caring for all means calling on other servants of Christ for help. If a parishioner has financial problems, a good financial counselor is an admirable first step. One cannot discount other people through whom God can work and show his love. But Jesus is the ultimate answer, because God has placed all our problems, all our illnesses, all our sins on Jesus, having him suffer and die for all of them. We can understand that this world and its problems do not give us the final answer. God in Christ has given us the final answer. It is the only answer that makes perfect sense of a world marred and defaced by sin. And we see that answer in the scriptures, where God has revealed it. The easiest thing for me to say is that you don't know what you will find when you leave the seminary. But it's the truth. What you have learned here, and what you add to it as you continue to study that you may know the way of God more accurately, is all that you have or will need to confront all the needs and difficulties in this world. Sir, we wish to see Jesus. This was the request by some Greeks to Philip. This is also what you will do in your lives. Sir, or ma'am, we wish to see Jesus. Be prepared to show Jesus to people, whether they are believers or not, whether they are in great peril or not. Whatever or wherever you are, that is sufficient. It is sufficient for those around you, and it is sufficient for you. As I have already said, you don't know what you will confront. To give only one example, the Reverend Todd Peppercorn, a former admissions counselor here and now a pastor in California, had to confront major depression in himself. He wrote in a book about his experience, "There is a light in the darkness. It will not fade away. That light is Christ. What you show people from scriptures about Jesus will always be bright and will never fade away, no matter what the situation. That is the wonderful news that God has given us to proclaim to all and sundry. We rejoice because Jesus has taken away also our sins, dying for them. We continue to rejoice during this Easter season. Alleluia, Christ is risen. Alleluia.